Welcome back to the Mail Case Show. I've been on this journey a long time. Aside my friend that is with me today, he is one of the best, a true fighter, but also a man of God, a man of peace, somebody who will not give up, will not stop, loves God and country. And I am so honored to have Coy Griffin here. How you doing, my friend?
Mel, it's an honor to be with you today. It always is. I take up all the time if I told you how much I think of you and how much I appreciate you.
Oh, well, you know, I love you so much. I can't believe we haven't seen each other in so long. I told you I need a big hug. It always makes me feel like, okay, we can do this. We can weather the storm because you have weathered the storm. Now, just for people that don't know a little bit, just tell about your journey to where we are now, and then we'll get into all kinds of stuff that people really need to know. This is a very important show. He is on the front lines in many aspects of this battle. So just a little bit about your background, then we'll get into what people need to know and how to fight back.
Absolutely, Mel. No, I've done a lot of traveling. I formed Cowboys for Trump, really supported the president with his America First policy, and particularly the border. I'm here in New Mexico, where I served as a county commissioner in a county directly affected by the border. Through Cowboys for Trump and my seat as a commissioner, I got to know President Trump. And I believe that President Trump knows me. I believe that he knows the ground I stand on, the fight I'm willing to fight. And I pray the resolve that that I'm willing to stand for as well. But, you know, through my commission seat, Cowboys for Trump, I had questions on election integrity. That took me to D.C. on January the 6th, where I stood peacefully and patriotically. I was charged by the federal government after January 6th of a misdemeanor trespass charge. I didn't go into the Capitol. I had no idea that it was a restricted area around the Capitol. But because of it, I was thrown in the D.C. gulag for about 3 weeks in solitary confinement. I know what that place is like. After my trial in D.C., I was acquitted of disruptive behavior, but my adversary smelled blood in the water. They tried to recall me from my commission seat here in New Mexico. The recall failed miserably. Since they couldn't get me out from a recall, a civil lawsuit was filed against me where I was charged, tried, and sentenced for insurrection here in New Mexico in a civil lawsuit before a bench trial before a liberal Democrat judge, where they removed me from my commission seat because they said I was an insurrectionist with violation of oath being the ground. Oh, but I'm the first person, male, in over 150 years that's been removed from office through Section 3 of the 14th Amendment for insurrection.
Yeah, but it wasn't an insurrection, and it's going to be proven that it's not. And the bottom line is where you were tried in D.C., they didn't find that. You weren't even charged with that. What happened to you in New Mexico was a concerted effort by the powers that be, and it's not even in New Mexico. It's the global trillionaire billionaires that run this country that went in and gave money to file the lawsuit against you that was totally bogus. I mean, I'm sure it's coming from their operatives anyway, and then and replaced you with one of their own. So they really harmed your community. You're beloved in your community. You are already a small business owner. You did all this stuff for Trump, but you actually cared about, you have a big Native American population there. You have all kinds of resources. You have a whole bunch of government stuff that you were on top of. And what they did was they removed the only, this is so sick, but they removed one of the only people serving in New Mexico who were actually for the people. And I think that was by design, and they didn't want you there in the first place. And we are dealing with I believe our country's been usurped by the kind of people that did that to you. So talk a little bit about what happened, you know, after that. Has the community, has there been like outrage or an outcry, or did they suppress it with propaganda? How did that go? Because it's insane.
You know, I still have huge support in my county. As you mentioned, I stood against the certification of the election whenever the right. Secretary of State was threatening me with felonies and removal of office. I still held my ground and I still voted no on the certification. My community's behind me. But as you mentioned, the big money on the left, you know, in my civil case, I had legal giants of the likes of Lawrence Tribe, Erwin Sherminsky, Dan Abrams, the NAACP, they all entered into this lawsuit against me, which was illegal from the get-go. They didn't have jurisdictional standing. I pointed that out. The judge ignored the law. He ruled illegally. He removed me from office. I have an appeal filed right now with the New Mexico Supreme Court. And now the New Mexico Supreme Court is not wanting to respond to my appeal. So, you know, it's very dangerous precedents. It will eventually, they have to respond. So eventually they will have to either eat the fraud that was created by the district court, or they will have to throw the fraud in the trash and turn against their own. Either way it goes, though, Mel, it will eventually go to the United States Supreme Court, is where it should be anyways. You know, yeah. I mean, if we're going to talk about insurrection, let's talk about it in the United States Supreme Court. Let's not talk about it in a civil lawsuit in a state district court on a bench trial. You know,
not in the jurisdiction anyway. And you were not even charged with that in the jurisdiction that it belonged. No, this was a hit job to get you out of the way, because you actually were standing for what was right. You were looking at what they were doing with the land, with the water, what they were doing with the taxes. You know, you land, as far as land commissioner, like you were in the way of this controlled demolition of America.
What I was doing, Mel, that so many local officials failed to do is I was honoring my oath. Right. I would continually remind them in a commission meetings that my oath is to the people in my district, not to the state of New Mexico, not to the federal government. So when these unconstitutional mandates began to come down the pipe, I stood in the gap and I said, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to force people in masks. We're not going to force the jab. We're going to protect. And that's why they removed me. It's because I got in the way of that thing they call democracy, that top-down control. But I hope that it wasn't in vain. I hope I set an example for other local officials to honor their oath and protect the people's rights and freedoms.
Well, we know about you that you've been on a journey for a long time. I mean, you rode your horse to Jerusalem. Like, I mean, you've been doing lots of stuff. You are not, it is not in vain. And I firmly believe, honestly, I think what they did to you was to get precedence to do it to Trump. And they can't get the insurrection charge against Trump because it didn't happen. But what is coming out, and I really want people to pay attention. I had on Darren Beatty, and I know Julie Kelly's doing great work. These people are exposing the truth about January 6th, which I believe was actually a situation where they know how many laws they've broken. And frankly, I think that there's been a cover-up after cover-up since they shot JFK. At the very top, the same people manipulate it or pass it down to their next person that takes their job. And it's just one cover-up after another, the same group of people that orchestrate all this stuff. And I think that they knew what they did in the election. They knew what they did in insider trading, certainly. They knew what they did during Russia collusion. They knew what they did in all of this. And the people saw the election. And I know a lot of people who showed up on January 6th that aren't Republicans and didn't care about Trump. They showed up there because they believe that election was manipulated and fraudulent, and they want it to be heard. I know libertarians, like people, honestly, that were there that day, that it had nothing to do with Trump. It had to do with we, the people of the United States, not believing that our system was working right and therefore our country had been usurped. But
absolutely. And you know, Kamala Harris not that long ago caught huge backlash out of comparing January 6th to 9/11. But to be honest with you, though, Mel, I think that January 6th was much like 9/11, but not in the way she presented it. It was an intel operation, much like 9/11 was. You know, I mean, all 9/11, the JFK assassination, the Las Vegas shooting, this COVID pandemic, and January 6th, they all have something in common, and they've all been manipulated by the United States government, particularly our intel agencies. So, but I think that the J6 thing is going to be, out of all of them, the easiest nut to crack. And I say that because there was such a heavy digital footprint from January 6th, you know, and I think that's going to be where we're going to get through all of this at, is the digital side.
Right. I also think that it's what is happening, and we'll talk about it in a minute, to the prisoners in there. Now, you were in there, and I talked to you right when you got out. And it was hell on earth for you. And you were there for 3 weeks. We got people in there for 2.5 years. But I got to tell you, I saw even Putin, like everyone can say what they want about him. He said that what's going on in D.C. at that gulag in D.C. is the most it's so egregious. It's a crime against humanity. And a lot of world leaders are looking at what's going on there and horrified. And how dare the United States go into any other nation to build or say that they're fighting for human rights when they're doing that on our soil? And that is a real problem. And the reason I agree with you about January 6th, not just the digital footprint, but we have a lot of people that were in that crowd. You know, Ray Epps, people talk about there's about 20 people that they have on camera doing different things that are obviously involved. The Capitol Police and the nonsense, you know, they're trying to redact stuff for reasons of national security, which is the biggest fraud, because it's not affecting the homeland or we the people. It's not reasons of national security. You're covering up crimes by the government and calling it that. And that has to be really addressed, because all of the things you talked about, and there's so many more, Benghazi, Fast and Furious. I mean, you can go down the list of crimes that have never been adjudicated. And those people continue to be in the senior executive service and manipulating this nation from behind the scenes. So even if Donald Trump came in, as we know, or whoever, they have very limited power, the way that our government has been usurped by the billionaire and trillionaire class. And then, like you said, January 6th to me was also a your Bill of Rights, your Constitution is void. We don't care. I said to General Flynn one time, we were standing there talking about the election and stuff. And I go, they don't even care that we know. And he goes, no, they don't. They don't care.
You're right.
They don't care.
And, you know, we can talk about constitutional rights all day, but in regards to January 6th, just our basic human rights. Right. I mean, just in my case, and not to try to make anybody feel sorry for me, but they threw me in on a misdemeanor, nonviolent trespass where I didn't even know I had trespassed, but they kept me for 3 weeks. But the first 9 days, they kept me in a cell where they refused to allow me to take a shower. I wasn't able to use the phone for the first 9 days. They stripped me of every bit of basic human rights. And the real torture of it all, Mel, is I was so blindsided because I didn't know that I had done anything wrong.
Well, you didn't.
To treat you that way, whenever you have a clean conscience, it brings about a much more severe mental trauma. I mean, if I would have killed somebody or abused somebody and I was thrown in jail, then you can take your medicine. But whenever you don't even know what you did wrong and you're treated that way by your own government, that's a whole nother level of torture. And people are still going through it today.
I know. And these people, they're the Nazi guards, the guards there. I heard that they're abusing people. They beat them up. They deny them medical treatment, deny them food calls. Some of the guys in there don't even know what their charges are. And we're talking over 2 years. This is against everything. But the question is the District of Columbia, which is a vassal state, what does it mean that they're a vassal state? We have to start looking into, are they not functioning by the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights? Because their courts don't seem to be. And this didn't start with you. This started with persecution of Flynn and other people along the way. And then January 6th, which I believe was to warn the people of the United States that if they did question this new regime, this installed regime, that they too would end up in the gulag. I think it's a psyop to make people docile, not fight back, not stand up. And it was totally planned. I believe that we will find that. I know some of the footage is coming out. Now, you did get out, but you psychologically, like you said, what do you do when you're in there? Nobody can, once you're in jail, you don't say, hey, you know, I need this or I need that. They don't care. They're not. And these people seem egregiously awful. And that Muriel Bowser and the Capitol Police, I hope that these people get exposed and they get thrown in jail, just like what they've done. They belong there. But for you, so you left and you told me right away that there was other guys in there, including that the shaman that they showed is like their big example, even though he was preaching peace in there, you know, but he's still in there. And you got out and you said, these people aren't, I mean, you said you weren't okay. These people aren't going to be okay. That was almost, you know, almost 2 years ago. So you have been trying to get these people some help and get a change of venue, because they're never like we know. But I don't even know if DC is part of the United States anymore. I think they're probably part of the globalist World Economic Forum, or some kind of global international banking. I feel like our whole country has been taken over by an oligarchy of billionaires and trillionaires that have all these NGOs, and they could BlackRock and all them own the whole country, and that's who's running it. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on in there right now. You've been in touch with a lot of these men and women that are, I mean, they're like in a concentration camp.
Oh, it's a place of torture again, beyond words. And my heart breaks for them every day. I believe I have PTSD, and my PTSD comes from the thought of them still being in there. But to think of where we are right now and moving forward and how we're going to get out of this, I've spent a lot of time, and I truly do believe, Mel, especially after the recent trials that we've seen, that the only way we're going to have any hope is if we have a change of venue. Because one thing about D.C. is the juries that are in D.C. are not a jury of our peers. The studies are out there. They've already been conducted to show the biasness of the D.C. jury pool. Over 90% inside the Beltway voted for Joe Biden. So we have to try to present that and get that recognized and get these trials moved out of Washington, D.C. and into a place where we can have a jury of our peers. Where would that be? It would be in the place where you reside. That's where the people of the same mind, the same likeness, your peers, that's where they live. So if we can get the change of venue recognized, then it would help all upcoming trials, but it would also help on the appeal of all the trials that have already taken place. But and my plan of attack, what I've been working on, is to get those letters of recommendation passed by your local county commissioner with the blessing of your county sheriff. If every county across America would send a letter that's moved and passed on by a board of county commissioners, supervisors, whatever you call them, where in the state that you live in, with the county sheriff also to be requesting a change of venue, and we could stack over 3,000 letters up on the desk of the DOJ, then that could be used by attorneys to leverage for a change of venue. Because, Mel, until we get out of D.C., we're never gonna get through this. We got to get these trials out of D.C. We're getting assassinated in Washington, D.C. still.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. I keep telling people, forget left and right, Republican and Democrat. We got a uniparty in D.C. of actors that are fully controlled by people above them. They are bought and paid for, whether they're blackmailed, bribed, insider trading, or they're just useful idiots. The bottom line is there's no accountability there. The big problem is the judges, because as we've seen again and again, these judges don't seem to care about the Constitution. They're radical activist judges. Many of them, you know, align with a lot of things that sound much more communist and totalitarian if you look at what they actually think and do and what they say. But it is totally biased. And I have watched though some of these judges. I wonder if it happened in your case. They actually say things that aren't true. So they'll sit there and say there were 5 murders that day, by Trump supporters. That's not true. There were 4 murders that day, and they were by the D.C. police and the Capitol Police. But they've turned it around. I've never seen a judge, because we listened. Oh, we did listen to yours, and we listened to another one of our friends, because you could call in and listen. And the judge is saying talking points from the January 6th committee that are all lies. So we also do have to start looking in this country at the judges and at the, because even the judge in your case, that wasn't constitutional. Yeah. What?
No. You know? And the judge in my case was Judge Trevor McFadden. He was appointed by Donald Trump. And the confusion in McFadden, okay, Mel, was just a couple weeks before I went to trial, Matthew Martin out of New Mexico went to trial as well. Matthew Martin was charged with trespassing, as I was. Matthew Martin went all the way inside of the building, and Judge Trevor McFadden acquitted Matthew Martin because he said that he saw the Capitol police officers opening the doors for Martin when he went inside the Capitol, which, okay, that's fine. But the letter of the law and the charge was this barrier outside of the Capitol, or this line in the sand, I guess you would call it. So how can you acquit Matthew Martin of trespass, but yet convict me of trespass whenever we were both in this inside of the same area? That's why I say it's confusion.
Well, I hope it's confusion, because what I think, because I have been studying the government for quite some time, is that probably the people in New Mexico wanted you charged and found guilty. And I think there's a big problem in New Mexico, and it's way bigger than having to do with the government. We got a lot of stuff going on there with the land and with the military and with the Indian reservations and all of that stuff. And the bottom
now
line,
it wasn't by chance that Jeffrey Epstein landed in New Mexico.
No, I know.
Okay? Epstein's Zorro Ranch, and in regards to Epstein's Zorro Ranch, what many don't know is that ranch was previously owned by former Governor Bruce King.
Oh, wow.
Now, how did Epstein wind up with the former governor of New Mexico's ranch? Okay.
Yeah, and don't forget, one of Epstein's biggest consiglieres and clients was Richardson. It's rotten. And then you got Carlyle Group all over there. It's rotten to the core in New Mexico, and it shouldn't be. And it's so beautiful. And you were actually trying to do something. But I think you're two reasons that what happened to you. One, they know that you know Trump. You are a big figure in all of Trump's 2016 run up to his election. He likes you, reached out to you openly, publicly. You guys had pictures. He shared it online. A and B, they don't want you involved anymore in helping the campaign or going forward, which you'll be I'm sure, a very big part of, you know, going forward for this nation. But also, I think things are dirty in New Mexico to the core. And when they arrested you, probably you're the people in New Mexico that didn't want you looking into their dirty laundry and fixing that state, that beautiful state, that for some reason there's like no land that's available to humans. I mean, like, it seemed like so much of the land in New Mexico is behind fences owned by the government for what? And we have a problem all over the country. But I was looking forward to you uncovering, because I, of course, supported you running and then winning. I was looking forward to you uncovering the corruption in New Mexico. And that, I believe it's bigger than that. But that's the problem. How big? You know, it's not conspiracy theory. We have a government that conspires against the people that aren't following the narrative. And the problem right now is I don't believe that there's that installed regime is working at all for America or we the people, or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing with the controlled demolition of our nation. So you need to keep fighting big time. Now, what can and should people? Now, you're saying that the sheriffs in every county, because every county is supposed to have a sheriff, like three don't. And I still don't understand why, but we're working on that. So the sheriffs, can they request that? There is a list out there. I've seen it. Gateway Pundits put it out. Other people put it out of who's in there, who's already been charged. You know, I think they have it up on their sick, twisted FBI website. But I have to tell you that so people can find out who the jurisdiction of the prisoner, and then the people in maybe in that county or that area can then get involved that way and kind of get in touch with that way.
I don't even think that we even need to take it that far. I think any of your listeners that care about the prisoners of Washington, D.C. and care about justice that are watching this program right now, get a letter put together to request a change of venue for the January 6th prisoners. Take it to your Board of County Commissioners. Get them to move and pass it. Just all you have to do is get a letter drafted. Take it to one of your commissioners, get them to put it on the agenda, get it discussed, and don't form it as a way of to support January 6th defendants. Draft your letter in a way just to constitutional right to have a jury of your peers.
Right.
And get it moved and passed on in your commission board or take the letter to your county sheriff. But have the letter sent from the county, have the letter sent from the county sheriff from that office. There's more leverage when it comes from your locally elected official. But if we could begin to flood the DOJ with request of change of venue for all future defendants in DC, that would be the real game changer. And that would be a shift in our direction, Mel.
Great.
I truly believe.
And if we can do that, then you, because there's going to be a lot of appeals, God willing, then those appeals would also be a subject to change of venue. We have to get it out of D.C. This is
if they recognize that the future defendants won't have a jury of their peers, and we could get them to move on that, then that would give a way for attorneys to appeal trials that have already taken place in Washington, D.C., and allow these defendants to be able to go to trial in their own hometown, or at least in their state, in their own home state, and allow these federal trials to take place in the state of residence, because that's where our peers are.
Right.
That's where a jury of our peers are found. I don't have any peers in Washington, D.C. I used to have one with President Trump, but now he's not even there anymore, you know? So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is D.C., everyone knows, is a total. I believe that it's been infiltrated by the domestic socialist Democrats of America, which are really communists, and the literal communists and the globalists, and they're all owned. And D.C. is no longer, in my opinion, functioning in any way as intended by our founders, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, or like you said, our inalienable rights from God, or a joke to these people. And if we allow it to keep going, and not standing up and sticking up. And this is the hill to die on, is for these people, because it is the plan, I believe. I believe that we will win. I still believe that there's God and miracles ahead for our nation and for freedom and justice. But these people that are suffering are people that we should consider our friend, our family. And if that was your family in there, I mean, these people showed up that day. You didn't even go in the Capitol. Most of these people didn't, that got charged. And tell me a little bit about the group of guys, men and women. What I've been told, and I don't know if this is true, but this is what I've been told by a very, very serious, reputable journalist, is that they are holding some of these people in solitary without charging them, without allowing them to see their attorneys, getting beaten up and fed crap on purpose or not fed at all, not showering. A bunch of these guys, ladies too, they were involved in watching what happened to Ashley Babbitt and Boylan and the two other people. There's two other people that also died from projectiles and being hit by things from the Capitol Police. The actual four people that really did die on that day were all Trump supporters or there to question the election. What is the story with that group of people?
And there's a group of them, Mel, but there's only one, in my opinion, that really rises to the top and is just in a class all by himself. And New York City can be proud to claim him as their own. And that's a guy by the name of Jake Lang.
Jake Lang,
in my opinion, is probably the biggest victim. And I say that, Mel, because Jake Lang is an American hero. He saved two people's lives on January 6th. Both of those people have signed sworn affidavits that the only reason why they're alive is because Jake Lang pulled him out from underneath the pile of bodies from being crushed. And Jake tried to save Roseanne Boylan and couldn't quite get to her in time. Jake Lang is an American hero and has to be recognized as one day. I know that he will. History will shed a very gentle and gracious light on Jake. But that's why they're doing this, though, Mel. They don't want Jake's testimony and his story to get out. So what's the best way to keep a guy's story from getting out? To stick him in solitary confinement and put him in a dark closet somewhere. And that's what's going on with these J6 defendants.
Yeah, because a lot of people weren't there. I mean, a lot of people were. But can you just talk a little bit about what that day, the violence that was that day? It wasn't Trump support. I mean, it's very obvious. And hopefully they will put out all the footage. Apparently there's a lot in there. And we'll have to revisit all of these cases, including yours, I believe, at some point very soon. But that day, there was a tremendous amount of violence, but it was coming from the Capitol Police.
I can honestly say, Mel, that at the evening of January 6th, when we got back to our room and I turned on the mainstream garbage, I was absolutely shocked at what I saw on TV. I remember telling Matt, I said, you know, this wasn't what we were a part of. This wasn't, because my day in January 6th was totally peaceful. There was nothing in my immediate area that ever concerned me or that was disruptive or disorderly. I mean, I was acquitted of disruptive behavior. So January 6th has been portrayed through the mainstream media as a violent armed insurrection. They did it, if your listeners remember, the evening of January 6th, when the media was saying that Officer Sicknick had been bludgeoned to death, Trump supporters murdered a Capitol police officer. That was what Anderson Cooper, Jeanine Pirro, all the biggest talking heads were saying. Trump supporters murdered a D.C. Capitol police officer when that was a flat out lie.
Yeah. And they honored it a year later. They're still lying about it. They're still lying about it.
But it's branding. Anybody in marketing knows that if you're going to introduce a product, you have to brand it right at the get-go. And that's what we saw on J6. It was branding. It was the instigators and agitators fighting with the police. Those videos were shown. It was a headline of Sicknick being murdered. It was all this sensationalism that didn't truly depict the heart of January 6th. The reason why I went so many others, Mel, is because we were concerned that laws had been broken, which are now proven to have been election laws. We're respecter of the law. We want to protect our law. That's why we went to Washington, D.C. And we stood not to stop the transition of power. We stood only to make sure that vote was certified on the state level, all well within inside the Constitution.
Right. And we know that there was a lot of state electors that didn't want to, and those were all thrown out and dismissed. And now, you know, they're going after those people, especially if they were lawyers or anything. They've already gone after their licenses. It's the same thing. It's just destroy, destroy, destroy. And I believe in the end that, you know, as I say, God's watching, and they better all realize that they will end up exactly where they belong. And I don't mean in this lifetime. I mean the next one. Yeah. But go ahead.
One thing that's the most beautiful part about the fight that you and I are in, Mel, and so many others on your platform that follow this, is that we stand on good ground. We want the best. We want transparency. Right. We want those that oppress and manipulate and abuse, we want them brought to justice. We're not trying to manipulate or hide or, you know, we stand in the place of truth. And we can always have peace in that.
Yeah. And also, you and I are big proponents of uniting. United we stand. All of the division is by the same billionaires and trillionaires that are dividing us. They don't care about any of us. They don't care about the BLM, the Women's March, the you know, our kids. It's all irrelevant. The people that are really manipulating us and everything and have usurped our nation and certainly have captured Washington, D.C. and all that is good about this country and is manipulating it want America to be done. They are done with the nation's state of America. That is why our border is open and they're funding it. That's why they installed Joe Biden. He's a puppet to them. And at this point, it's Team America or Team End of America. There's not other side. There is no other side. I don't care if it's not about gender or race or religion. All of that's irrelevant. They don't care about any of us at all. And I think it's time for people to really start realizing and talking to their friends and neighbors where they can meet common ground and saying, listen, the stakes right now for America and to lose this nation are very high. And no one's saving us if we don't unite and save ourselves. And one thing I did want to add to the January 6th talk about the committee, the fraudulent committee, is that they actually did hire Hollywood producers, Hollywood directors. It's like Wag the Dog is what we watched there. And the best PR agency was in the back, the best, the number one in the world, most funded. So we have to understand, because you brought up something interesting. How come the cameras were right where the violence, the supposed violence was, that a lot of it orchestrated? Why did they know where to be?
Yeah, absolutely. It's because it was all orchestrated. And in regards to that Alexandria Pelosi, I think she's Nancy's daughter. She burned my phone up after January 6th. And I talked to her a couple times on the phone, but her mouth would just water and to do an interview with me. You know, it was a production. It was a production.
It was a production.
We will, I believe, Mel, that one day we will know the truth. But one thing that we must realize is that our enemy right now is very, very, very evil and will go to any lengths to keep from getting exposed or to keep from getting caught. And so when you factor in the vaccine and the possible ill effects of that vaccine, and whenever you factor in J6 and the treatment of the prisoner, we're dealing with a very evil, evil force in this world today. So people need to be understanding of that whenever they sit back and go, oh, surely, you know, the government wouldn't do that. Well, that's probably exactly what the Jews, many of the Jews were thinking right before they walked into those gas chambers. Because if you think about that, the government was going to take care of their health at that time. They were going to de-louse them in those chambers. And those Jewish, those great Jewish people at that time took their clothes off and folded them neatly and nestled them down to put them back on and walked in those chambers because the government was going to take care of their health. And what did the government do?
We know. Yeah, and that's the truth. The parallel cannot be understated. And also how they were treated in the concentration camps is not that dissimilar to how they're being treated from what I hear from you and many other people in that DC gulag. These
You're
people
right.
are being tortured and cycle. And we look, our government already said after the rendition hearings and all of that, that solitary confinement is torture. These guys are in solitary confinement for not doing anything wrong, if at most a misdemeanor. You know, can you imagine? There's, and also meanwhile, at the same time, the juxtaposition is, at least I'm in New York City, there's no cops. They're not putting people away. You could literally throw somebody on the subway station platform or stab somebody. Or last week, this guy from Fox News got beat up. These people were let go without charges. And those guys are in solitary confinement in a gulag in hell in D.C. And somehow the American people, you know, they can get people up to march for Black Lives Matter, Antifa, some bogus women's march, you know, for the right to abort a baby at 9 months. But they can't get, you know, 200,000 people to march to free the prisoners on January 6th. It's because they have created a fear factor that people don't want to do that. And we're going to have to make sure that people do. So you have a great solution with the letters for change of venue. How can people help you? When's your appeal? I really need to get involved.
Yeah,
in that.
I've got my trespassing charge under appeal right now. I have attorneys working on it as well as the appeal from the removal of office. I have an upcoming jury trial at the end of February on a campaign finance violation, which is complete garbage.
Ridiculous.
It's a jury trial. That's a prayer request. But, you know, I have a Gibson Go account up. You can find it under my name, Coy Griffin. I appreciate any support because right now, to be honest with you, you know, the warfare that I'm in, Mel, is they totally polarize you. They just, you know, it's just if it's the lawfare or if it's the slander in my small community, and I live in a small community, so it's not like living in New York and having a headline run on you and then nobody knows who you are. Whenever I go out into my community here, everybody has an opinion. So it just makes it that much harder. But we know God wins. You said it. God
and honestly,
wins.
You have children too. So that people should know that like it's not just you that's being affected by these lies and this manipulation and this. I mean, look at what they've done to Donald Trump. As you're pretty much in the same category with him and Flynn in my book of having been persecuted for just wanting to do right by this nation and we the people. So I definitely know you have the appeal. How about your job? I can't believe you were going to do. I was involved with you when you were running. I know what you were going to do in New Mexico. So what about that? What about that appeal?
Yeah, they removed me. They fired me from the county.
That was your job. That was your livelihood. These evil.
Yeah, that was my. That was my main and only source of income. You know, I sold my business whenever I ran for office, just so I could solely be devoted to the people. And
it's unbelievable.
You know, I could go back into business tomorrow, and I could do good. I know that I could. But the problem that I have with that is it would take me out of the fight. I want to stay in the fight. I want to stay engaged. I want to stay on the front line. I could start a business. I could go to work and I could spend, you know, 80 hours a week working, you know, but if I do that, it's going to take me off the front line. And I really feel it critical right now for our country and our future that people that have the boldness and the courage to stay engaged and stay in the fight.
Yeah, especially right now, you know, it's a war and we're in a battle and we're in another battle phase. 2023 is a different battle than it was before, but we're making some gains. And you and I are people that believe in God and faith and
Amen.
Belief. believe in miracles and that, you know, at times that look the worst, sometimes it's the darkest before the dawn. So I'm hoping that. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll put all the links below. And someday soon, we'll have a big hug in person. Hang in there. And I'm sure I'll see you on the road soon on the battlefield.
Amen. I love you, Mel. And I appreciate you so much. And
you too.
When it comes to journalism, people like you and others like you are the real voices and the real journalists.
Thank you. And you're the real heroes. So keep up the good fight. Nobody can stop you, and that is a gift from God. Thank you.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mel.
Hey, America. This is Dr. Stella Emmanuel here at the Mel Kay Show, having a good time. Listen, go to drstellamd.com. Make sure that you get your family safe. Make sure that you have everything you need for your family. Don't wait till you get sick. If you get there, you can get telehealth appointments. You can get immune supplements to build your immunity to make sure that you and your family are safe. And of course, if you use the promo code MELK, you always get a discount. God bless you.
Hey, it's Andrew Sorcini at Beverly Hills Precious Metals. I'm here at the MELK Show. Last year, we helped so many patriots out there protect themselves against inflation with gold and silver. In 2023, we can show you how to preserve what you have, avoid further loss, and position you for greater things for your investments. So the best way for us to help you is for you to go to melkgold.com, fill out the online form, and put in as much information about yourself as you possibly can. The more information, the more we can help you. So do it right away. The time is crucial as we head into central bank digital currencies. We can show you how to protect your 401k or your IRA, and the costs are minimal.